How are you doing today? Blessed, highly favored, and flavored. Amen. You're the salt of the world, aren't you? You're the light of the world. How many of y'all know God needs you? How many of y'all need God? Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And the Bible says when we are weak, then we are strong, because it's no longer we who rely on our own strength, but we rely on His. Glory. Glory. How many of y'all want to please God? That's a good thing. Do you know you have to have a desire to please God? Do you know, let me share something. The only way that you can have a desire to please God if He's drawing you. You cannot have the desire to please God in your own character. He must be doing something in you for you to want to please Him. Has everybody got it? That means God, you know, so many people go, well, where's God? Well, do you have a desire to please Him? Well, of course. So when you want to give that person that three-letter word, die. See, you cannot have a desire to please God unless He's imparted it in her, or He's drawing you to something, another place, another level. See, all of a sudden we start to please God, and then we get complacent and fulfilled. Okay, I'm pleasing God. I'm doing the same thing over and over. But see, then He begins to draw you into another place and another level, and He says, okay, that pleasing isn't enough anymore. It's time to please Me some more. And what you've done already, you know, just it's not even pleasing yourself. See, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you get exposed. Some of the things that you thought were pleasing Him, you're going, man, I thought that was pleasing Him, but it's really offending Him. You begin to realize more and more the things that you've done in your own flesh and your own works, that you've tried all the times that you struggled, you thought you were struggling, suffering for God, when it's nothing been, but it's been deception. Because Satan's greatest power is deception. Amen? I mean, his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. His greatest weapon is deception, and he loves to deceive. Listen, it's nothing for him to deceive an unbeliever. He wants to go after you. You're his target. You're his reward if he can move you out and bring you back into the old. That's how he gets rewarded, by destroying those who want to please God. You know why? Because you carry the will of God now. So if you're carrying the will of God, and all of a sudden you're deciding, well, you know, I really want to please God. It's because the will of God is beginning to form in you. He's beginning to set His purpose for your life in you. Your destiny is all of a sudden beginning to manifest. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to understand every little thing. It means you just have to do. See, he says, listen, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I'm going to establish your steps. So all of a sudden you're beginning to acknowledge God. You're going, you know, all of a sudden you wake up one morning, man, there's something more I'm supposed to do. I haven't been a believer for a gazillion years, and there's still something more I'm supposed to do. It's because God is trying to bring you to another place. So that desire to want to please Him, all of a sudden, it's like taking another drink of water, but you know what? The glass is empty, and you want more. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm supposed to do something. I want to please you. Well, see, we all have that desire now. You wouldn't be in this room right now if God didn't draw you, and there's another place that you're supposed to go into the spirit realm. You would not be here today if God didn't draw you and impart in you the desire to please Him. That's how you go from glory to glory. Glory to glory. Oh, hallelujah. One of the ways we please Him is by departing from evil. Amen? Let me tell you one of the things that please God also. Taking dominion and knowing who you are in Christ. You know, when you, those of you who have children, you know, you want them Now that you're born again and walking right in God, you want them to be like you. Amen? So God has that same desire, doesn't He? He has that desire that we become like-mindedness. And when the devil begins to torment your child or something, you're going, come on, kick the devil's butt. What's the matter with you? You know, you got to teach them at a young age. I know when the devil begins to torment my daughter, we tell her, Lissy, that's a devil. Who told you that? You know, but she's still growing. Now, she can't blame it all on the devil because she has a few choices of her own. Amen? But that goes for all of us too. We can't always blame the devil for our ignorance, stupidity, and fleshliness. The Bible does say, depart from evil. You know, it also says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But let me tell you something, that better be according to the will of God. It doesn't mean you're going to go and into a bar and hang out all night and claim the word of God that, listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and sit down with a bunch of boozers and expect to bring all of them to Jesus. You'll end up staying there. And they'll be bringing you to the devil. You got to use wisdom. Amen? You got to use wisdom. So there's an area right now where God is pouring out a desire in the body of Christ that we please Him in every area. The Bible says we are to work out our own salvation. No one else can do it for you. You must alone stand before God the day you get there. And He's going to want to know what you did with His will, with His grace, with His purpose. Purpose, the purpose of your life and to fulfill your destiny always begins with having a desire to please God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Open your Bibles, please. Turn to Mark chapter 1. To God be the glory. Thank you, Master. Mark chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, share one. If you didn't bring a piece of paper, take one. If you need a pen, share it. Mark chapter 1. Paper doesn't forget. Everything you learn, you should be able to teach. Everybody got it? Everything that God gives to us, you better be able to teach it. These are not words that are get to put in a folder and get put up on a shelf and collect dust. God has words of life for us to change. We're to become teachers. Everyone in this room is to become a teacher. Well, I'm just not qualified for that. Good, you're not qualified. He is. Just take it. He'll teach through you. We're to become teachers. How are you going to listen? If you can't learn it, how are you going to tell your children? How's your neighbor going to know the truth? How are people at work going to know the truth? The Bible says, be ready in season now. Be approved by God. If you have a desire to please God, one of the things you better know is His doctrine. Amen? If you want to be a pleaser of God, you know His ways. It's not overnight. You learn them. Amen? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. Oh, hallelujah, would you read it with me? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon Him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here is something very important. He said, He acknowledged Him as His Son. And He said, "I'm pleased. You're My Son that I'm pleased." Now, everybody heard the voice. So He brought Him forth in. And all these people were around where John the Baptist was baptizing in water. All these Pharisees, Sadducees, and every kind of other seer was all around there. And they were coming there because they were repenting for their works and their deeds. And they were being baptized in water. And all of a sudden Jesus walks up. And John the Baptist baptizes them. And the heavens open up. A dove comes down as Jesus is coming out of the water. And a voice comes and says, "You are my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased," in front of everyone. Let me tell you, everybody that was around that Jordan got saved. I don't think there was one person there that left, not a believer. Come on, they saw the heavens open, they saw a dove come down, they heard a voice from heaven. Man, they all dove headfirst in that river. I mean, they were they could have sold tickets that day. They were after God. They saw something happen. They said, "Man, you know why?" They were all there because they had a desire to please God, and they didn't even know why they were there. But then when they heard the voice, Jesus was glorified and magnified in front of all those people, they came running into that water. "Baptize me. I repent." Because they knew it was something that would please God. God approved His Son. He acknowledged Him, didn't He? He approved and acknowledged Him in front of all mankind. The Bible says that one day we're going to come before God and He's going to say, "Enter in, faithful servant. Enter in the presence of God and enter in the rest of the Lord. Enter in, my good and faithful servant." Why? Because you pleased Him. Every one of us wants to hear the voice of God say, "Child, well-pleasing to me." He will approve you before men. Everybody got it? He'll approve you before men. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you have a desire to please God, it's because He is drawing you. 2 Peter in chapter 1. Everybody there? In verse 16 and 17, would you read it with me? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, read it with me. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So we see here that God honored, right, and glorified His Son. He acknowledged Him, didn't He? Well, there are ways that God will begin to acknowledge you. One of the ways is you begin, first, you must have a desire to please Him. Amen? By having a desire to please Him, you must deny yourself. Oh, y'all know that word, die, right? You must deny yourself. You cannot please God if you want to please you all the time. It just doesn't work that way. If everything that you do is focused on yourself and not according to the will of God or desires to please Him, you can't please Him. Amen? And once you begin to please God and you know you're pleasing Him and you begin to fall out of that path of pleasing God, oh, do you know it? But you continue to ignore it, justify it, make excuses, reason. And the enemy's constantly telling you, "Oh, you're doing something good for God. Come on. Come on, you got a wife and child and so forth to feed. You've got to work more. You've got to do this more. You've got all of these things that you must do to please God." But that's all. See, this is where we lose the simplicity of Christ. The whole thing is being willing to please Him and not please yourself. But the enemy jumps in and tells you all kinds of things to want to please you. He begins to reason, and he begins to move you off focus. See, when we begin to reason, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? But the world, we're going according to the ways of the world, but not according to the ways of God. We begin to slowly fade away, bit by bit by bit. The next thing we know, we're justifying, okay, well, I went to church, or I went to Bible study. But you know, you're still not doing the will of God. Well, I'm doing the will of God. I'm going to church. I'm going to Bible study. And I do these little things here and there. But are you really doing the will of God? Are you fulfilling your call? That's wanting to please God. Wanting to please God is fulfilling the call that God has in your life. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about coming to Bible study. It's not just about being a mommy and a daddy. It's about being a son of the Most High God. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Not this is a mother or a father or whatever. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. That means there must be a relationship with him, and you must prove that you're willing to do whatever it takes to be pleasing to him as a child of the Most High God. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Praise you, Lord. Some of us are going, well, man, you know, sometimes people cry out to God, oh, Lord, I want to please you, I want to please you. And he's going, you are. Shut up, get up. Now go do something, you know. I want to please you, Lord. You are. Come on. You know, the enemy really plays games with us, you know. He condemns you when you're not pleasing God, and he condemns you when you are. That's the condemning power of the enemy, isn't it? He tries to move you out of place even when you're in place. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5, would you read it with me? So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Do you know that you were begotten by the Spirit of the living God? As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, I know he's talking about Christ, but he's also talking about me and you now, because we are priests unto God. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he what? He learned obedience by the things which he what? He suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him. That's amazing where people don't see this. He offered salvation to those who what? Obey him. Not to those that say, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior and see you later. I'll meet you when I get home. You ain't going to meet him except for the day of judgment. And there'll be a short period of time. The Bible says only those who are doing the will of God will enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have a desire to please him. The moment you lose the desire to please him, you are serving somebody else. That means you're pleasing yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. One of the things that pleased him is godly fear. It's known as reverence. Talks about it right here. And what else? Learning obedience by the things that you suffer. You know the things that you suffer? Your mistakes. How many of y'all made a mistake? I'll put that one up too. Boy, do we make mistakes. Glory. God expects us to learn from those mistakes. How many of y'all been married and divorced? Did you learn your mistake? Things that you didn't do in that first marriage, you realize now that you become godly. Man, if I would have done this then, things would have been different. But you know, you can't change those things. But you can take what you learn now. Amen. Some of us are still suffering by those mistakes. Amen. Some of us, I know myself, I've got a daughter that's 34 years old. And I didn't get her raise her godly ways. But God gave me an opportunity now to raise one according to His will and way. Amen. So we're to be learning by our mistakes, not doing them over and over and over. Amen. And why would we learn from our mistake? Because we want it to be pleasing to Him. We want to be pleasing. Well, how could you be pleasing to Him? The only way that you can have a desire to please Him is because He's calling you. He's calling you. You know in your spirit there's something more you're supposed to be doing. But in the process of this that you're supposed to be doing, there's a process of learning. And you're learning through obedience. You're learning. Obedience, suffering of things you've gone through. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to be God pleasers? Hallelujah. We want to be daddy pleasers. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. Hello? But let me tell you, what it means is if you have a desire to please God, when you make a mistake, it's His problem, not yours. Because if you're in that place with God and you make that mistake, the devil really can't get to you because you repent very quickly. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I just did that. You don't go, oh, man, I don't know if I should repent. It's really not my fault anyway. It's their fault. Then everybody blaming everybody else for your own stuff. Ooh, the devil's getting more and more in there. See, the longer it takes you to repent, the more you reap. So if you repent quickly, God takes it. But if you're justifying and all kinds of other stuff while you're still doing the things that are not right before the eyes of God, you reap. Amen? So as we repent quickly, because we have a desire to please God, then every mistake we make is His problem and not yours. And He fixes it. Or He shows you how. It doesn't mean that you go out and fix it right away. Sometimes you got to wait on God on that. Oh, do you know that God loves for you to wait? Everyone say, I love to wait on God. He loves for you to wait. If you're a person that loves to wait on God, He moves quickly. Hello? If you're a person that loves to wait, Lord, I'm waiting on You. Though they slay me, I'll still praise You even though I'm going through all this stuff. I'm waiting on You. I don't care what's going on. I know You're faithful to complete what You started. I'm grabbing hold of You. You grab hold of me. You love me. I love You. You're really trying to convince yourself. The devil's got both hands and he's dragging you by your ankles across the floor. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting on You. And next thing you know, after you go through this process of learning how to wait in God, waiting doesn't seem long anymore. Doesn't seem long anymore. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, Let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now he added something to this one. He said, What? Hear him. See, first he did is he acknowledged him. Amen? This time, when he was transfigured, he brought a specific group in front of him. And he said, Now listen, you hear him. This is my Son whom I've chosen, my beloved Son whom I've begotten. Hear him. Does everybody understand that? But first he said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm what? Well pleased. Now he says, I'm not only well pleased in him, but now I want you to hear him because he's given you something from the counsel of the Lord, which is from the throne room of God. Is everybody with me? Oh, how many of y'all want... that's a powerful moment when God uses you to say, This is my beloved child whom I'm pleased. Now listen to him or listen to her. See, God, by His Holy Spirit, will begin to tell people that. He'll begin to tell people that by His Holy Spirit. Listen to her or listen to him. He's got something from the counsel of the Lord that I want you to hear. Hallelujah. Well-pleasing, listen to him. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Hey, are we going to be able to clear all this stuff off the tape? Or are they going to be, are we going to have background music? Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. You think what pleases God is submission? Amen. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So Jesus was humbled under the mighty hand of God, wasn't he? And then eventually, he exalted him. He was humbled. Humbling. Oh yes, humbling is a wonderful place of pleasing God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Here's, listen, be what? Sober, vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a what? Roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Look at everybody goes through it. But you're learning obedience by your suffering, by the mistakes you've made. Is everybody with me? But may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have what? Suffered a while, hello, that's because you're going to learn. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. So we see here that humbling, casting your cares, being sober and vigilant, resisting the devil and standing in the faith or trusting in him is a desire of pleasing God, isn't it? Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Glory to God. God pleasers. Yes, we want to be God pleasers. Hebrews 13. And verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's start at 15. Did you get Holy Ghost eraser? Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is what? Well, please, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So those who God's put authority over you, they are accountable to God for your soul. They're accountable. Doing good, submitting, sharing, not with greediness, not with a desire to be rich. We are rich. We are rich in the goodness of Christ. We are rich already with his love, rich love. We are rich. My Bible says don't desire to be rich, because the love of money is the root of every kind of evil, isn't it? Does it mean you can't be rich? No. If it falls in your lap, then so be it. Amen? That means God's going to use it for some good. But you don't justify yourself to be rich by reasoning. Hello. When it comes from God and not from self works. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And verse 29. Psalm 69 and verse 29. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody okay? Good. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So you think, listen, praising God pleases him? Oh, you betcha. Whew. He loves it. Especially when you don't feel like it, he loves it even more. What will people think if I lift my hands and praise God? Oh, he loves it. Just ask someone to lift them for you. This also shall please the Lord, praising his name. Better than an ox, a bull, or a bull which have horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your heart shall live. The Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him and the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, and they that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Ooh, something happens as you begin to praise and worship the Lord. You know, as you stay in position, God rescues your children. He starts to bring in your household, no matter what it is. You just stay in position and watch the hand of God move. And we have a wonderful teaching called, I forgot. It's called I Forgot. Is it Releasing the Hand of God or something like that? Releasing the Hand of God. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 13. No. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Praise God. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Doesn't mean that they're still not your enemy. Hello? doesn't mean that they're still not your enemy. It just means that they're at peace right now. As your ways please the Lord. Go to Psalm 73. That means God is showing you favor, isn't it? Psalm 73. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all of His works. Putting your trust in the Lord pleases Him. Pleases Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do you think that you're pleasing God right now?
Amen.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. And let's start at verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Let me tell you something. We want to be God pleasers and not men pleasers. It is an important thing of our life. It's amazing how people begin to flock to money instead of to God's presence. They begin to flock to what fulfills. It says, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Let me tell you, a servant of the Lord does not have a life. There are many people who want to be, I want to be a servant of the Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that for God, but they're still fighting for their own life. You cannot have a life and be a servant of the Lord. The only life that you can have is the life that is required for you to live. I do not have a life. But the life that He's granted me is far exceedingly abundantly, outrageously glorious, more than the life that I wanted on this earth. See, the life that I wanted on this earth would only have been temporary fulfillment. But the life that He's given me now is eternally fulfillment. It's a total different thing. Do I get blessed with things? Yeah, I get blessed with things. But they're not my idols. Everything that God gives us, we're to utilize for the glory of God. Whether it be on two wheels or four. Whether it be the home you live in or whatever it is. Whatever God has blessed you is to be the purpose of glory to God. Man, where'd you get that nice shirt? Jesus. No, really. You know, every time we'd go somewhere, whatever, they'd say, hey, man, how do you do this? How do you get income? How do you have all of these homes and whatever? Don't you have a... Does any church support you? No. No church supports us. Any organizations? No. A couple little groups and so forth. What do you mean? Well, then how do you do this? God? No, really. How do you do this? God. Oh, come on. Does he print out the money for you? I mean, I get all kinds of stuff like that. What, you got a machine in that back room? You got a money tree? No, God makes way. You never know how. I can't explain it every time. Things just happen. I just got a check in the... We just got a check in the mail the other day. My wife and I were praying. We're going, Lord, you know, things are tough right now. What do you want us to do? So, okay. Write a check, send it out, whatever we got to do. Next thing I know, I get in the mail a check from somebody that had God used this ministry to rescue a family and their children. And they went and lived in another state for about 2 years now, and all of a sudden they got blessed tremendously, and they sent a donation to the ministry. Because they wanted to thank God for what he did for them through this place, not about a man. But what God did. That's how God supports his house. Amen? That's how he supports his house. Oh, hallelujah. How did we get on that subject? Praise God. God's good. So we want to be approved by God, pleasing God, and not be approved by man and pleasing man. Not that man won't approve, but we give glory to God in every area. In every area, no matter what it is. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. God's good. Go to John chapter 8. I'm sure it pleases him. John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift the Son of Man up, hallelujah. So every time you say hallelujah, do you lift him up? Amen. Every time you say to God be the glory, do you lift him up? Okay. Then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, and I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. How many of y'all don't want to be left alone? Then do the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed. So Jesus was the example for me and you. He says, man, I do the things that please my Father. That's a desire. Remember something. He said, I was sent by him to do his will. As you are sent by him to do his will, everything you do will please him, even if you make a mistake. Because your heart's desire is to please him. He doesn't leave us alone. Go to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. One of the things that we must always have is an open discussion with the Lord. There must be an open discussion. You must have an open heart at all times. You must be naked before him at every area, no matter what it is. Every time you are considering and hiding something, You're not. You can't hide whatever it is from God. You just can't. It's amazing how people will think, oh, I'm doing this behind closed doors. But God knows. That is nothing but deception. And it's an open door to the enemy. When you have to do those things, the devil already has a hold in you. There's something there that's not right. We must have an open discussion with God at all times. Always. Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. David said, I see the Lord at my right hand all the time. When I'm driving, I mean, I'll turn to the passenger's seat. I'll stick my hand out. Some people may look in there and go, man, this guy's nuts. That's all right. I am nuts. I'm nuts over Jesus. I'll stick my hand out and say, Holy Ghost, what are we going to do today? Sometimes I'll ask him, man, pray for me. Well, he does intercession, doesn't he? And I'll start praying in the Holy Ghost. He's praying for me. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging the other side. Why? Because I want to be pleasing to my dad. There's times when I and see the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can go out all night on the discussion of the Holy Spirit. He takes you by the hand and brings you to the throne room of God. He takes you and introduces you to Jesus. He shows you the revelations of His Word. He takes you by the only thing He asks you to do is to stick out your hand. He's the one that's going to cause you to be well-pleasing to your Father because you can't. The Holy Spirit. There's times I'll be driving down the road. Yo, glory to God. Five. Give me five. Holy Ghost, praise God. We'll come out of a service or something and I'll thank Him. You did a great job, man. You know? Before I come into service, I said, you're on. I sit in the car, I pray in the Holy Ghost all the way. As soon as I come into a service, I'll look at him and say, you're on. Holy Spirit, you're on. Do what you got to do. One thing I don't want to be is in His way. Hallelujah. How many of y'all feel the Holy Ghost in here right now? There's something going on. I mean, I just got some joy all over me right now. Hallelujah. He loves to be talked about. But see, He's always going to bring glory to Jesus. Show me the ways of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that I may be well-pleasing to my dad. He's the one that brings sonship. He's the one that brings that you as a child. You have the witness in you that you're the child of the Most High God. I pull into places and people say, you can't park there. I say, yes, I can. What do you mean? My Father owns this place. Your Father owns this place? Man, can we get a free room here? Oh man, my spiritual Father owns this place. Oh. Hallelujah. If you're pulling into a parking place and you realize you didn't have enough change and it's got a meter there, ask for a favor. Lay your hands on that thing. Lord, I'm already out of the car. I only got a quarter on me. And there's none on the money. Help me. Thank you. Man, this is relationship. You know what I'm talking about? This isn't about religiosity, it's about a relationship with God Almighty because you're His child and He desires to give you the kingdom of God. He desires not to hold anything back from you. That's all He's wanting is you to know Him. That's all it's about. So that He can bring you all the way home. He left your the Holy Spirit. He's your nanny, He's your friend, He'll dress you, change your diaper, and everything else. He raises you. God left the Holy Spirit to raise me and you up to be in the image and likeness of Jesus. He gave us the example so that we can be well pleasing. Damn. Something's happening. Where did I say to go? 1 John chapter 3. In verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we what? We keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Man, you want your prayers not hindered? Do things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. Benefits of pleasing Him is answered prayer. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, to God be the glory. This is supposed to have been a simple, quick little discussion this morning by the Spirit of God. But I'm glad I'm not running it. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? That's what matters, doesn't it? In verse 17, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, would you read it with me, please? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, hello, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What was happening? Somebody was giving Paul some cash. He was sowing into his life. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from, what's her name again? Or his name? Epaphroditus, that's it. The things sent from you, a what? Sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, what? Well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What was happening was He was receiving an offering. And He said that this was a well pleasing thing to God. You know, many people do not tithe in the body of Christ. Like they think it's their money anyways. How do Bibles go out? Believe me, I don't have a printing press to make money, but God does bring it. The purpose of tithing and offering is so that you can be blessed. It's for you. It's for me and you. So that we can be blessed. Tithing sustains. Offering increases. Tithing sustains and offering increases. The Lord says, offer your first fruits to the Lord. Every time the Lord, something goes on or whatever, and we change or something happens or whatever, and there's a first fruit coming around, we offer it to God. Sometimes when job changes and things to that degree, or somebody gets a blessing or something to that degree, sometimes there's a first fruit offering. One of the things that pleases God, what does it show God? It shows God that you're not relying on your money, your strength, your talent, and your ability. It shows God that you're trusting in Him in every area. That's what pleases Him, trusting in Him. So we see Paul accepted an offering, and he said, listen, let me tell you something. God will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. Is everybody there? It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, you guys ain't going to just get away with that now. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Hello? Now listen. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let me tell you. Children, obey your parents. How many of y'all got spiritual parents? Hello. It's the same thing. It says, children, obey your parents. Why? Because they're looking out for your soul, aren't they? How many times have you disobeyed one of your spiritual parents? And you went into the... And you went astray, fell in all kinds of stuff, and came back, oh, I should have listened to you. Why did I do what I did? Pride. See, when they first come, oh, I want to live, yes, I'm going to submit, I'm going to do everything. I want to be well-pleasing to God for a few months. Then I want to be well-pleasing to me. Children, listen to your parents. They look out for your souls. They will guide you in the right direction. And this is well-pleasing to God when you do. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Oh, hallelujah. Obey spiritual parents and your earthly parents. It's pleasing to God and it's a blessing. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. God pleasers. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. It just can't be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in the flesh, you just can't please God. And believe me, you know when you're in the flesh. If you don't, everybody else does. When you're in the flesh, you know that you're not in that desire of pleasing God. You justify in the mind, but in your spirit, you know you're not pleasing God. Amen? You just know. Because you have that witness within you. Walking in the flesh displeases God. Hebrews 11:6. A couple more scriptures. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. Is everybody there? Amen. Would you read it with me, please? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you're not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. Impossible to please Him. You just can't. Let me tell you something. Without faith, you cannot please Him. Do you know that you walk in a desire to please Him by faith? So without faith, you can't please Him. How many of y'all walked in here by faith? Amen. So is it pleasing to Him? Yes. Faith is assisting the desire to please Him. Does everybody understand that? Faith is assisting the desire to please Him. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if an individual tries to get rich, are you pleasing Him? No, because you're not relying on Him. If you're a workaholic, are you pleasing Him? No. I'm doing it for the kingdom. No, you're not. You're doing it for your own selfish gain. Something to feel good. So you can justify. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there's things sometimes you got to work extra to fulfill something that you've made commitments to. Amen? But there are individuals that their desire and their fulfillment is to work. Because they're trying to build their own empire instead of that which is of Christ. Is everybody with? So by walking in faith, let me share something with you. You know, some people get condemned because they call a doctor. Walking in faith says, Lord, You're my healer. I'm looking to You to heal what I got. I'm refusing to accept what the devil has given me because I know all sickness and diseases are the devil. And you've given me dominion over it, Father. So I'm going to take dominion over it in the name of Jesus. And I command it to wither and die in Jesus' name. I loose myself from this spirit of whatever it is. And I trust you. Thank you. Now, I take authority over headaches. Amen. Now, usually I get a headache because I drink too much protein or something, you know. Or something I might have eaten that was something somebody snuck something in there and it gives me a headache. I rebuke that headache, then I go to Mr. Advil. I'm not religious and I'm not stupid. I want the headache to gone. Hello? So if Dad doesn't take it then, he says, well, I got another way for you to do it. Okay. I'm not going to lay my hands on my daughter. Yes, I will. Excuse me. Yes, I will. I will lay hands on my daughter when she's sick. But I'm not going to just stay there and wait while she's dying. Hello? Why? Because God has made things available for us, hasn't He? Now, if we were out in a place in the jungle where I had nowhere to go, you bet you're... I will. But He'll work on what I need at that time. Does everybody understand that? You know, people really get goofy. God has made and supplied all of our needs. So does the desire, does it please Him that I ask Him first? Yes. In other words, He says, acknowledge me in all of your ways and I will establish your steps. Right? Hallelujah. Now, we've got to fight for some of the things that get healed, don't we? We've got to fight for them. We've got to press in to get prayer. We've got to fight to get in the presence of God. Everything you've got to fight for to get. Things don't come easy. When you and I wanted deliverance from drugs or alcohol, whatever it was, man, we had some fighting to do. Because we tried to figure it out and justify everything in ourselves. So finally he said, that's it, I can't live this any longer. I give up. You know, we had to fight to give up and trust God. Amen? So there's a fight, isn't there? So, but when we finally said, I give up and I'm trusting God, you know, people say, let go and let God. Well, you know what they were doing? They were stepping out in faith, weren't they? Okay, I'm letting go and letting God. I'm going to stand on that, man. When I began to do that and I didn't even know who God was, He began drawing me. All of a sudden I had the desire to want to get right with God and I didn't even know who He was. All right, I'm letting go and letting God. All of a sudden furniture started showing up on my front lawn and stuff and I didn't have any. Water got turned on that I didn't have any. Electricity got turned on. Food, all kinds of stuff coming. Man, I said, man, this is great. I'm going to keep letting go and letting God. But then it came to a point where He says, okay, now, let's get going. I've changed your diaper. I've fed you and everything. Come on, grab my hand and let's get going now. Now we've got work to do. Now I want you to learn my ways. Now that you know that I'm real. Now you know that I'm real. Come on, let's go. Then we begin to walk by faith, don't we? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That pleases God. Isaiah 58. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you, Master. Isaiah 58. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? You know. To loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you clothe him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. That your light shall break forth like morning, your healing shall bring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry And he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations in many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. This is what God wants to do with me and you. He said, is this not the fast? Let me tell you, fasting means denying yourself. The Bible says, come out from the world and do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unevenly yoked with the ways of the world, but be yoked to Christ, because His burden is easy and His yoke. Amen? So here, we've come into a place now where He says, fasting is just not about denying yourself from food, even though some of us need to, because certain foods would definitely clog your mind. He even told the Israelites, listen, I want you to fast 3 times a year. So we see here fasting is good for purifying of the body. Amen? And cleansing of the body. But then there's a fasting that is required, and that's what he was talking about, because they were all boasting about they weren't eating. Some people actually fast for the wrong reasons, to lose weight. But fasting is a representation of denying yourself from the worldly pleasures and go out and help those who are in need. And that's what he was talking about here. He said, is it not to feed the poor and bring those who are brokenhearted and clothe the naked? It's not to make a place for somebody who's homeless. These are the ways of fasting. And not turning your head away from those who are in need, but help those who are in need. And I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. God pleasers. Thank you, Master. Going the extra mile. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians. Masters, give your bondservants what is just. I'm in Colossians. Excuse me. Never mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Aren't you there yet? Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Amen? So we want to be well-pleasing to God in every area of our life. Father, we thank you for your word today. Let your seed that's been imparted in here grow and bear fruit for your glory, my King. Let the desire of our heart to please you grow and grow and abound more and more. That whatever we do in every area of circumstance, that we not get moved out of position, but that we stay in position and be well-pleasing to you. Learning from our mistakes, forgiving and blessing those who persecute us, use us, and speak against us. giving to those who are in need, and denying ourselves, that we may be a sweet aroma to you and desiring to please you in every area in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise be to God.